You're watching KCMI TV.
Well, thank you for joining me, and I want to talk to you about something that we may not realize it, but it's probably one of our greatest enemies. And I want to talk to you about our past. I wrote this down because I think it's true for lots of people. Most of us probably have more negative remembrances about our past than we do good things. And for a lot of people, your past is never as great as you thought it was or as you remember. I remember as a boy going to camp meeting, and we always had this big tabernacle that we went to, and the sawdust on the floor, and it seemed so big. And I went back years later when I was grown and looked at it, and it's so small. And many times, your past is not as great as you thought it was. And your past can be the greatest obstacle for what God wants to do with you in the future. There's a Proverbs, we're familiar with this. Proverbs chapter 29, it says, where there is no vision, the people perish. And looking at our past is really not vision. It's just remembering what doesn't exist anymore. And so being able to look forward to the future is what allows us to accomplish what God wants us to accomplish. And so Paul wrote this in Philippians chapter 3. He said, one of the things that I want to encourage you to do, he said, is you need to forget those things which are behind. Because if you don't forget them, they'll latch onto you and they'll tie you down into a place that you're never able to accomplish the things of the Lord. And so, listen, you can't change your past. It's forever set in stone. And there is nothing profitable about letting the enemy take your mind and drag you back into the garbage dump of the past, because all it does, it just releases this negativity in you. It releases discouragement, as many times it'll release anger in you. And so Paul said this. He said, forgetting those things which are behind, whether it's success or failure, they're done. And so you can't live off of that. I've been around people that are 70, 80 years old, and all they can talk about is something that happened 30 years ago, 40 years ago. You need to have fresh experiences on a regular basis in your life. And when you go back to the story of Lot's wife, you know, they told him, they said, don't look back. And of course, we know that when the angels took them out of the city, that Lot's wife looked back and she turned into a pillar of salt. The problem was she had memories that she didn't want to let go of. And she's thinking about her home and different things and not realizing that God wanted to take them to a different place. And she couldn't let go of the past, and it cost her. And I'm talking to somebody today that you're going to have to let go of your past. You get around people, and the first thing that happens is they want to tell you about what somebody did to them 10 years ago, or what their ex-spouse did to them, or what a company did to them. And if you dwell in the past, on the negative things that have happened to you, you know what it does? It just breeds poison in you. And one of the things that happens, nobody wants to be around you. People want to be around people that have a healthy view of life. And being able to let go, and you said, Pastor, I don't know how to let go of these things. Well, the Holy Spirit can do that. You can, Paul said, we have the mind of Christ. You know, and I'm just thinking about this. I'd have to go back to the New Testament and look, but I don't recall Jesus ever talking about his past. He was always dealing with the future and talking about what was going to come. But I don't ever recall one place in Scripture where he talked about growing up or the fact that his brothers didn't believe in him or that, you know, Joseph wasn't listed in his story other than at birth and early on at the age of 12. Jesus was dwelling on the present and the future because he had a purpose. He said, for this cause have I come into the world. And so in the Old Testament, there's a scripture in Numbers chapter 11, a story, and the Israelites said this, we remember the fish and the melons and the cucumbers, and we don't like what we're eating here, and we remember Egypt. And you know what? They had a jaded view of Egypt. They forgot that they were being beaten, that they were slaves. They didn't have anything. They had no joy. And all of a sudden, in the place that they're at, they had this jaded view of the past. It's so great. We remember it. And they're complaining and saying, wish to God we'd been back in Egypt and we want meat. And God told Moses, he said, I'm going to give them meat. He said, I'm going to give it to them until it comes out their nostrils. And their tied to their past made them speak things that weren't pleasing to the Lord. And later on in chapter 11, the Bible says that while God did send them quail, but it said while the meat was in their teeth, because they made God angry, he loosed a plague among them and many of them died. You say, well, how do I forget the past? Well, one of the things in Hebrews, it says, looking unto Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of our faith. Every one of us, my goodness, those of you who are listening to me today, I know that you've had some horrendous paths to walk. But you know what? It's most human beings do. I don't know hardly anybody that has a charmed life. We have stories of betrayal and sickness and financial setbacks and so many things, and you know, parents that didn't love us or whatever, or failures. But you got to get up and you got to move on. Your past should never ever be greater than your future. And it takes no faith. Listen, it takes no faith to live in the past. In fact, it's a spirit of unbelief that draws you back there. But you don't have to have any faith to talk about what people have done to you or what you've lost or what you've gone through. That doesn't require faith. This is why the Bible says, where there's no vision, the people perish. People who live in the past are never happy. And part of it is because they feel like their past has been greater than their present or their future. And you can't change it. It's dead. And one of the reasons God wants you to stay out of it because your past is dead is that God is not the God of the dead, but he is the God of the living. And think about, I mean, God has allowed you, he's navigated you to this point, and you're still breathing, you're still, you know, you're still a believer in the Lord. Don't let the enemy keep you in the past. I remember meeting a lady, and she had lost a child in an accident, and even 20 years later, and I've lost a child, I've buried a son, but you have to commit him into the hands of God. My wife, the Lord spoke to my wife about this when our son died. He said, either you can bury him or you can plant him in faith. And every time you got around this lady, all that she ever talked about was something, the loss of 20 years ago and the bitterness that came out and the anger that came out. And what it does, it shuts down in you God's purpose and what God wants you to do. And as long as you live in the past, you'll never prepare for the future. You gotta cut the past loose. And when you don't live in the past, then God will equip you. You can start thinking about the future. You can prepare for the future. And just what I just talked about this, but people who live in the past most of the time live with open wounds. You know, when you get a wound and that outer layer begins to form, it's not real pretty, but if you leave it alone and not pick at it, underneath healing will take place. And eventually that outer layer, that scab will fall off. There might be a little scar, but what the scar says, I had a wound, but I'm healed. The enemy will trick you at times to sit there and pick at what God's trying to heal. And a lot of people, every time you get around them, they just live with open wounds because they keep going back to the past and referencing it. And we are not people who live in the past. Not living in the past, and this is so important. If you won't live in the past, it'll set you free from unforgiveness. Most of the time, the reason that people cannot get free from unforgiveness is because they just keep talking about it. Somewhere in a conversation, it's going to come up. Well, they did this to me. This is what happened, and this was wrong. And they're always going back. Listen, if you step out of it, you can't do anything positive for God, for your family, for your marriage, for your potential. If you don't step out of that dimension, whether it was good or bad, and you begin to prepare for the future, when God looses you from the tether of the past, you can be excited about what God's going to do in the future. One of the things that I think can help you is entering into the spirit of thanksgiving. And thanksgiving is about thanking God for what he's done, all right? And the Lord said in the last days, one of the signs of the last days is people will be unthankful. There's such a spirit of greed that gets a hold of people. And when you are thankful, instead of a lot of people, the reason they're unthankful because they're so caught up in what they don't have, they don't realize what they do have. And all of us have things that we dream about that we've asked God for, believing God. He says, I give you the desires of your heart. But you can't let the process of waiting for God to fulfill those to make you ungrateful. And when this is what I know happens, it does for me. When I start getting my eyes off the past and what I've lost and what I've went through, and I start thanking God for what I have, hallelujah, for what God has already done for me, even in my past. You know what it does? It opens the door of praise. And praise is not thanking God about what he's already done. It's praising God for what you believe he's getting ready to do. And boy, when you start praising God, speaking things that are not as though they already were. Listen, when you talk about Superman, we all know this, we laugh about it, but they said that Superman's weakness was kryptonite. When he got around that green stone, he got weak. Well, if God has a weakness, it's that he can't stay away from praise. And I'm telling you, when you start praising God, and listen, you can't praise God and have your head in the past. When you start praising God about what you don't have, but what you believe that God's going to do, he just says, I can't help myself. I've got to bring that to pass, because praise empowers God to begin to bless you in your life. And people who live in the past are never relevant to the future or to the present, because basically they live in a cemetery. Just walk around and look at what's buried and talk about what could have been, what could have happened, what I lost, what they did, what I wish would have happened. You'll never be relevant to the kingdom of God. And even you won't have a good marriage if you can't constantly bring up stuff from the past. Or even with your children or with other friends. You know, we all have relationships that have went through some difficult times, but you maintain them because you learn how to move past the disappointments. And if you want to be relevant to God, this is why the Bible says the just shall live by faith. And when it really limits us, it really limits our potential in God when we allow the enemy to keep dragging us back. Because most of the time, I don't think the enemy drags us back to our successes really too much. What he's going to do is he's going to drag you back to your hurts, to your losses, to your betrayals, to what used to be and isn't. And in Hebrews, I think it's chapter 12, it says this: let's lay aside every weight and sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. So in that verse, I'm going to delete the word sin for the moment. Let's just lay aside weights. He said, because if you lay aside the weight, he said, you will run with patience in the race, not that's set in the past, but is set before us. And so many people allow the things of the past to become weights that are tethered to them that they can't run. They just get bogged down. And one of these days, we won't remember any of these things anyway. But if you're going to be healthy in the Lord, if you're going to be whole in the Lord, if God's going to use you to advance his kingdom, if the purpose that's in you is going to be released, then you got to move on. And you say, well, you know, I'm older. You know, I don't know if success is ever going to come my way. Sam Walton, who started Walmart, was 44 years old before that happened. Ray Kroc, who started McDonald's, was 50 years old. Harlan Sanders, who started Kentucky Fried Chicken, was 61 years old. John, when he got the revelation on the Isle of Patmos, was 90. Abraham, when he finally birthed the promise, was 100. Moses, when God finally used him, was 80. Joshua, when he finally walked into Canaan land after living in the wilderness with a bunch of hard-headed, unbelieving people, was 80. Caleb was 83. What I want to tell you is, don't let the past dictate to you that you're done. You believe that God can do anything, anytime, anywhere, with any person if they have faith. And so today I want to encourage you, step out of your past It's dead. It's gone. Listen, you can't change it. Don't let it change you. And if you'll take that paradigm, God will do great things in your life. Well, God bless you. I pray this been a strength to you. I'll see you next week.
For more information about Kent Christmas Ministries International or Regeneration Nashville, go to kentchristmas.org or regenerationnashville.org. And for the latest updates or videos, follow us on Facebook and subscribe to us on YouTube. God bless you.